The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Hello and welcome to the Trumpet Daily Show. This is Richard Palmer coming to you from our UK campus in Edstone, England. There's, I guess, a bit of a power outage this morning at headquarters, but we have some of our other sites so we can still rush to get you the latest news. And, sorry about the disruption. Sorry that we're not going to be able to hear from Mr. Stephen Fleury this morning, but I am glad to and excited to have the opportunity to talk to you. We have another headline this morning from The Telegraph that could have been right out of the Plain Truth magazine. Europe's sleeping giant rearms. And I think you know immediately who they are talking about. There's no question who that sleeping giant is. It is Germany. I mean, this is biblical language. Just that headline alone, you would have thought, should just wake up anybody who has ever listened to Herbert W. Armstrong. It's Revelation 17 language. We can turn there right off the bat. I mean, Bible prophecy. Bible verses are just leaping off the headlines of your newspaper. Revelation chapter 17 and verse 8, it says, "The beast you saw was and is not, and shall ascend out of the bottomless pit, and shall go into perdition. And they that dwell in the earth shall wonder, whose names were not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world, when they beheld the beast that was and is not and yet is." There's a beast power in Europe that goes dormant, a sleeping giant, and goes into the underground. And the Telegraph's headline is basically proclaiming that that giant, that beast, is rising right back up. And Europe's sleeping giant rearms. And they could have just as easily written Europe's underground beast rearms. I mean, I guess it's not quite as ties into modern English expressions, but a powerful, powerful picture. And this is what Herbert W. Armstrong talked about for years. I mean, here's just one clip where he talks about Revelation 17 and what is prophesied to happen.
"Now then, that Roman Empire is to be revived. It is coming out of what is called the bottomless pit. It's going to be resurrected, and it's going to last just a short time, and it'll be with 10 dictators in the territory of the ancient Roman Empire, Europe, and around the Mediterranean. There isn't any definite territory because the Roman Empire continued for many centuries, and at one stage it occupied one geographical location, and at another stage another geographical location. There isn't any definite set geographical outline that it must occupy, but it will be the old Roman Empire, essentially. It will be fascist, you can be sure of that, and it is now rising, and it's going on underground, and we seem too stupid somehow to see it. We don't realize what's going on in the world. God says it's going to come up. But this, my friends, is the final resurrection of this whole system of Gentile empires and Gentile governments."
Hopefully we were able to play that clip for you. We do have, like I said, with the power outage, a bit of a skeleton crew, but Mr. Livingston is finding ways to work around headquarters being without power. So it may be a little rough and ready today. We're kind of having to rush this out in enough time to get it sent over to the United States and downloaded and played back in time. There's a lot of different things to work with. So really appreciate your patience, but hopefully that clip was able to play. And we played some of those clips from Mr. Armstrong's old radio show on the Trumpet World on Wednesday last week. Over the weekend, I saw Mr. Stephen Fleury had the Key of David on why America has troops in Germany. And he highlighted some of those same clips. And one of the things that just stood out to me going over all of those clips from Mr. Armstrong is how often he paired the warnings about Germany rising up with a call to repentance and a call to action. I mean, that shouldn't really be surprising. But it was just such a strong focus along all of those old radio programs. He really focused on God said this would happen. God said he would raise up Germany to correct us because of our sins. And Mr. Armstrong's message, this really powerful warning about Germany, was absolutely not, well, the Germans are evil, don't trust them. And he wasn't warning about the evils of Germany. He was warning really about the evils of the human heart, about our own sins. I mean, we're all evil human beings with selfish human nature. And the warning ultimately was about sin and that we need to take action and change, that we need to repent. But Mr. Armstrong gave that warning so powerfully and so consistently. You would think that with some of these headlines in the Telegraph and The Atlantic 6 months ago and the Wall Street Journal just over a week or so ago, where that was talking about Germany rearming and this new German arms factory, you'd think that there would be more people waking up and saying, well, yeah, Mr. Armstrong told us about this and I need to act. I need to repent of my sins. I need to take this seriously. I have some things I need to be doing. You'd think our phones would be ringing off the hook. And I have had some phone calls along those lines, but there should be a lot more. And here's just one example of Mr. Armstrong doing this, where he talked about the rise of a European superpower. And in this clip in particular, he then went on to say that some of you in God's church, true believers in Christ, well, you need to take action. You need to tighten things up. Well, I'll just let it play in Mr. Armstrong's words. This is clip 1.5.
And then after that, now the very next thing to happen is then the Great Tribulation. The Great Tribulation is dual, as I said, it is nationally an invasion of our people by this very force, this factor, this great power that is now rising up in Europe. The groundwork is being laid. The plans are being perfected under cover right now, this very instant in Europe. And also then, it is a phase of persecution against all that are true believers in Christ and in the Bible and who keep the commandments of God and believe in being governed by God, who have not been praying enough and have not kept close enough to God and have not been watching these events and have not studied their prophecies and don't recognize it when it's coming and are not worthy to escape and to take this flight to a place of safety. And those that are not accounted worthy are going to be forced to take up the pagan religion that will then dominate the world and give up the religion of Christ and give up any obedience to God and give up the truth of the Bible or be persecuted until they are killed, martyred.
So just a powerful warning there that there's so many people that were sitting in the Worldwide Church of God that heard Mr. Armstrong speak, that were sitting in Sabbath services, and they've all drifted off, or so many of them, and they're not studying prophecies anymore. And this should be a powerful warning to wake up and take things seriously. I mean, I've been talking about this article, Europe Sleeping Giant Rearms. I've not gotten any further than the headlines. I mean, I'll bring you some of the substance of this article as well. It begins by talking about Heckler & Koch, the German gun manufacturer. They talk about how they're best known in the UK for supplying the MP5 submachine guns that British Special Forces use. But it says, today, as the prospect of war with Russia grows nearer, a rather different mission weighs on the minds of Marco Geisinger, the head of Heckler & Koch, its chief sales manager. Rebuilding the German army. And that's what they're working to do, rebuilding the German army. And so it goes back over some of the quotes, some of what we've heard from Friedrich Merz and Germany over the last few years, these quotes that you're all, I think, very familiar with, and says, as Germany's leading gun maker, Heckler & Koch has found itself at the vanguard of that mission as it rapidly scales up production of assault rifles and anti-drone weapons for the German army and special forces. And, they've spent over 200 million euros to scale up their output. They know that Germany's working to have an extra 80,000 soldiers in its army, and they all need guns. So they're making more of the German standard issue rifle. They've added an additional production plant, roughly the size of a football pitch, to get more guns out there. They bought just a few months ago. This slipped over my mind, but I might have to go back into this in more detail. Global Engineering, a machinery firm in England. So they're buying up British companies to help them make more weapons. And of course, we have no concern about the sleeping giant rearming. We're quite happy to sell companies. Yeah, if this is going to help Germany build more weapons factories, fine. And the Telegraph was able to go around and look at this company. They talked about Geisinger saying that they're responding to a fundamental shift. The Telegraph writes, after decades of being scorned as the German economy's dirty little secret, the defense industry may be key to its survival, and that sudden reversal has surprised people even inside the arms sector. There was another article, I think it was the Telegraph as well, a few weeks ago, that talked about, well, there's a bit of a mind change within Germany. A temperament, an attitude change. I mean, that to me is as interesting as some of these weapons factories reopening and this kind of thing, that their mindset is changing. And before where, and they've talked, these articles talk about how quick it is. Before where they wouldn't want to work for the arms industry, well, now they're very willing. It's not hard for them to find workers. In fact, it draws attention to something, you know, we've talked about or written about on the Trumpet about some of these car manufacturers and other German manufacturers that are they're doing badly, they're struggling with their industry, and so they decide to start making weapons instead. Huge trend and important to cover. This brings up another trend that we've maybe not talked about quite as much, and that is you're getting all of these people being laid off from the car industry. So up to 15,000 jobs per month. And the German arms industry is looking at those people and saying, yeah, this is a big opportunity for us. Those engineers and those, whether it's car designers or welders, they've got the skills that we need to make more weapons more quickly. Let's hire them. It says it is hoped that a great many of those laid off workers can be absorbed into the defense industry, where their expertise in welding and engineering can be transferred to churning out guns and missiles. So even if they're not having civilian companies retooled, even if those companies end up shutting down the civilian companies because they're having trouble selling things, well, those same people that worked for them can then start working for these arms manufacturers. The Telegraph continues, some workers may well balk at switching to the arms industry, especially those who see it as an uncomfortable reminder of Germany's guilt over the Second World War. But if younger generations can look beyond those shadows from the past, Heckler & Koch is waiting to welcome them with open arms. Don't worry about the past. We'll welcome you in with open arms. They quote the sales manager saying, perceptions of the defense industry in Germany have changed significantly over the past years. There's a broader understanding today that defense capability is essential to protecting freedom and stability. People who join us know their work directly contributes to the safety and effectiveness of those that protect society. I mean, that's the way they talk now. It's just about freedom and security. We're a stable American ally. They then talk about, It talks about, then it goes on to talk about Rheinmetall, this other company that's making even more different weapons. It says, led by Armin Papiger, a tough-talking chief executive nicknamed the Kraken because of his insatiable hunger for contracts. The firm opened a 500 million euro ammunition plant in Saxony last year, the largest in Europe. And it talks about everything Rheinmetall is doing, the Leopard 2 tank, hundreds of thousands of rounds of ammunition, combat vehicles, winning a 1 billion euro contract for the Infantry of the Soldier Future program. They write that Rheinmetall is now claiming that Germany was now producing ammunition at a faster rate than the US after the firm quadrupled annual production. Rearming, they're making ammunition faster than America. And then it talks about, I thought this was really interesting, that there's this group of young AI-focused entrepreneurs. It mentions Helsinger. We've talked about them before. Another one another one called Arx Robotics, the inventor of a computer program which will help the Bundeswehr develop self-driving tanks. The AI, named Mithra, in honor of the ancient god of war and knowledge, can be installed in any army vehicle, be it a lorry or tank. A human operator can then drive the tank remotely or So in case in a battlefield you get that signal interrupted, instruct it to drive alongside a set route. The technology has caught the eye of German defense officials, as it could be used to upgrade the capability of the army's existing vehicles, which would be much quicker than ordering and building new ones. You know, they're looking at moving fast. And I think I thought this was really interesting. And you might remember Mr. Gerald Flurry had some of those Key of Davids a few years ago about AI and understanding dark sentences and pointing to Karl Theodor zu Gutenberg, a man that he's long watched as a potential strong man of Germany, and his interest in AI. And just watching the AI story develop since then, it has been really interesting, because when it comes to large language models and things like Claude and OpenAI, the stuff that makes a lot of the headlines in the US, things haven't been going so well for Germany. I think it was just last month, their biggest AI large language model type company basically got bought out by a Canadian firm. And they kind of felt like this was the only way to preserve some kind of non-American independent AI capability in this particular space. So there's a lot of people, a lot of coverage. Well, Germany's doing really badly in the AI race, and maybe on the commercial front. But Mr. Flurry was talking a lot more, I think, about some of the potential military implications. And he talked about, well, is this undoing mutually assured destruction? And if you have AI that's capable of taking out nuclear weapons or intercepting nuclear weapons, what does this do to grand military strategy and that kind of thing? He was much more focused on the military ramifications. And here you have a German startup, I mean, two German AI startups, but doing really interesting and unique things that can rapidly help the German military adopt AI without having to wait for purpose-built AI or remote control vehicles. And Ukraine remote control vehicles have been hugely important. And so now they can come and retrofit a whole range of vehicles and make them basically drone-operated vehicles, almost like land drones. So that, I think, is something really, really important to watch and part of Germany rising up there. But just to give you a few more highlights from this article, when looking at the balance sheet of some German defense firms, things do seem to be going exceptionally well. The latest figures from Heckler & Koch, as just one example, show that arms orders have doubled over the past year to 800 million. Rheinmetall, meanwhile, recorded profits of 1.8 billion euros for 2025, up 33% from the previous year. I mean, they're all getting record profits. And the article went to talk about some of the bureaucracy, some of the how it's not moving as fast as they would like. And I think that's worth watching as well, that Germany is determined to rearm. They're starting to see, some of the politics, some of the bureaucracy is getting in the way. Merz is probably taking things about as fast as Germany can in its current political system, but they're going to be as they get more and more desperate to rearm, they're going to think more and more about a strongman, someone who can push things through more quickly without having to rely on all of these different committees, etc. And so they're talking about more strategies to wean themselves off the United States. I think Mr. Livingston spoke about that on Friday, where you had this report come out from the Kiel Institute, and the Telegraph reported on that as well, with their 9 or 10 points on this is how we can become independent from the United States. I'll get to that in just a second. One more story on this that appeared in my inbox this morning from Politico's Brussels playbook. It was about Spain calling for an EU army. It's almost like I'm starting to worry about job security, because 5-10 years ago, working at the Trumpet, we had to work pretty hard to go and find you news stories showing the earlier signs of this and Germany preparing to rearm and the ways that some German elites were thinking and about trying to how they were working to destroy NATO and make Germany independent. And now it's just you log on and it's on the front page of the Telegraph. I mean, pretty soon, are you just going to have newspaper headlines? The Holy Roman Empire is here. It's been resurrected. And, we don't have to dig as far for those news stories. So, they're in my inbox, an email. Spain is calling for an EU army. This is from Politico, where they had an interview with the Spanish foreign ministry ahead of an important EU summit that I think is taking place today. And he was calling for an EU army. He said, "We cannot be waking up every morning wondering what the US will do next. This is a moment of the sovereignty and independence of Europe. The Americans are inviting us to that. We have to be free of dependence. So, you know, we need to be free of America. To be free of America, we need an EU army. We need a military, a common defense capacity. So they're saying, well, you know, we don't like Donald Trump. And Spain, yeah, I mean, Spain is pretty anti-Semitic. They've been really captured by that spirit. And so, yeah, that they've been kind of almost siding with Iran in this Iran war. Donald Trump has very understandably been quite annoyed with Spain and piling on the screws. And so now, well, they're saying we need an EU army to be separate from Europe. And I mean, separate from the United States. And, you know, America's quite happy with that. They're quite happy to build up Europe as a European power. Again, something that Mr. Armstrong warned about. Here's clip two.
You know what we want to do? We want to put trust in men. We want to rely on men. What are we doing in our nation now? Well, we're trying to rely on Germany and Japan. We're hoping that they're going to be allies, and we're hoping we'll be able to control them. While we begin building up a Frankenstein, and you're going to be in fright and terror of it pretty soon. If you don't know God, that's your only protection, my friends, and you'd better heed it while you may. He saves you from the fowler's snare and from the deadly pit. He protects you from his pinions and hides you underneath his wings. You need not fear the terrors of the night, nor arrows flying by day, nor need you fear hydrogen bombs. But you need not fear the terrors of the night, nor arrows flying by the day. Well, it's speaking in terms of the kind of weapons they had when this was written way back there several centuries before Christ. But let's say you don't need to fear the fallout of atomic energy and all that sort of thing today. You don't need to fear anything that's coming if you really know God. But not very many of you do, my friends. A lot of you have been kidding yourselves. You think you know God. You're taking a lot for granted. Let him that thinketh he standeth take heed, lest he fall. So says your Bible, and God is the author of that Bible.
You know, America has created a Frankenstein monster that's ready there to turn on the United States. And with that in mind, I wanted to talk about one more news story from this weekend, where on May 9th, Russia had its Victory in Europe Day parade. It's usually a big day every year for the Russian military. It's a little more subdued this year. They just seemed like they didn't have the spare military to have go and parade. And on that day, Putin said, well, he kind of indicated, I'm ready. The war in Ukraine is about over. I'm ready for a settlement. And he said he wanted to negotiate with his old friend, former German Chancellor Gerhard Schröder. And he wanted to negotiate with Europe, and he wants Schröder to be the intermediary. And this has gotten a lot of coverage and a lot of attention for good reason, and maybe even needs more. But George Friedman at Geopolitical Futures, he talked about, well, whether Putin gets his way, whether or not Schröder ends up being the negotiator, he said the statement indicates something very important. Putin wants to return to the period in which Russia seemed to be preparing for a role within the European system. He talks about how the war in Ukraine, it has not gone as smoothly for Russia as they thought. Again, I don't think they're doing as badly as often there's some West wishful thinking in the press has made it sound like they're doing, but they are. It is costly. And Friedman writes, the relationship between Europe, specifically NATO, and the US has deteriorated to a point where a new geopolitical system must emerge. So Putin is really offering an earth-shaking deal here. Hey, Europe, if you are fed up with Donald Trump, hey, I have a great, great relationship with Gerhard Schröder, the former German chancellor. Send him over. Let's talk. We can help you break away from the United States. Let's form a new Europe where Europe and Germany is not allied with America. It's allied with Russia. And that's the offer that he's making. And you know, some in Germany are minded to accept. The German government, they very quickly said no, but the Social Democrats, they're part of the governing coalition, they do kind of want to accept. Their foreign affairs spokesman said the idea should be seriously considered and not dismissed outright. According to the Telegraph, a rumor has been spreading around that they're thinking of saying, okay, that we will have Schroeder negotiate, but we also want German Foreign Minister or former German Foreign Minister Frank-Walter Steinmeier to join him as a partner. So we have someone from the Social Democrats, and I think Steinmeier was Christian Democrats, if I remember correctly. But just the fact that they're asking for Schroeder, I think is really significant. This is what Mr. Flurry said about Gerhard Schroeder in 2018. Well, just before we play that, he talked about in this clip the role that Schroeder played in negotiating the Nord Stream pipelines between Germany and Russia. You know, these two pipelines that really tied Germany and Russia together, that Donald Trump was incredibly critical of. He said that these pipelines are destroying NATO because they create this codependency between Germany and Russia. They build up Russia. And so this is what Mr. Flurry has to say about Schroeder, the man who put those pipelines into place. This is clip three.
Now, there's two important points here you need to understand. This Gerhard Schroeder, who is a former chancellor of Germany, the one that Angela Merkel beat to get the job. And here he is called, in this article, Putin's friend. How can this man be Putin's friend? And he's, incidentally, the one who's spearheading this pipeline and the one who's in charge of it for Putin. You think about that. What is really going on here? What is happening in Europe? So there's a lot of plotting, that we just don't understand. Now, I'll tell you this. When you think about this man having all this to do with that pipeline, and he is Putin's friend, you'd better think about that, because you know if he's working closely with Putin, there's a plan here to destroy NATO.
You know, he's working with Putin. And what Schroeder did is you have this time period. It's a bit like in the US. You have the elections in the US in November, and then the new president doesn't take election until January. So you have a couple of months where the old outgoing president can kind of do whatever he likes and not face any electoral consequences for that. So for Germany, it's chancellors, obviously, but Gerhard Schroeder, after he lost the election, and just in that time before Angela Merkel succeeded him, that's when he put the Nord Stream pipelines through, when voters couldn't punish him anymore. And, you know, Mr. Flurry had talked about in this next clip that even Germans are suspicious of what kind of secret dealings Schroeder has been a part of. This is clip four.
Now, the predecessor of Merkel, Gerhard Schroeder, was voted out of office, and then he signed this document to begin to work on this pipeline and to get it into becoming a reality. And even the German people are suspicious of what he's doing over there. What is he doing with this very high, sweet position with Vladimir Putin? And he is actually implementing the pipeline himself. It's a former German chancellor working with Angela Merkel to get this pipeline directly into Germany, and they're bypassing the other European powers, and they don't like that, but that shows you how Germany domineers Europe. If you think that isn't something to be concerned about, you'd better think again, because we've been telling you that for 70 years, and in our booklet on the Holy Roman Empire, we explain all of that in detail. But here, even the Germans are suspicious of what all this guy's doing with Vladimir Putin. Well, I'll tell you what he's doing. He's helping others hijack the European Union and all of that power. Germany has the best currency in the world, and they're just a head and shoulders above any other nation in Europe, and they're bullying all of those people.
If this is what is going on, or has been going on, with Germany, with Schroeder, and some of these secret background negotiations. And now Putin is saying, I want that guy. I want him to come back. Let's talk. Let's. Okay, Europe, you're fed up with Donald Trump. We will really help you break with Donald Trump really quickly. And Mr. Flurry has warned about Germany signing a deal with Russia for years. And this is what he wrote. This was kind of the write-up in 2018, I think, based on that Key of David. Many elite Germans feel their nation has gotten all it can from the US and they're ready to move on. Some powerful Germans today are thinking more and more about the Holy Roman Empire, and they want modern Germany to assume more power of its own in the spirit of that empire. They want to establish Europe as a mighty German-led superpower. And, you know, Mr. Flurry talked about in that article, Germany knows they need Russia if they're going to be able to make that quick break with the United States. And so Mr. Flurry watched Schroeder really closely. He talked about in that article as well the role that Schroeder played in negotiating the Mercosur deal, this deal between Germany and Latin America, the role that Schroeder has played in bringing Turkey kind of into the European establishment and creating German-Turkish ties. This is a man that's had a lot to do with building up the Holy Roman Empire, and Putin wants to sit down and talk to him. Now, he's getting older. You know, maybe it's time to pass the reins on to another generation. Maybe he won't necessarily go and sit down and talk. But it's an important moment, an important symbol of where Putin is at. And Mr. Flurry, or Mr. Armstrong, gave this same warning as well. He talked about Germany and Russia doing a deal. Here's one last clip from one of his radio programs, clip 5.
The atheistic powers will dominate the world. Atheistic Russia, this pagan religion that will unite up with the fascist regime of the Union of Nations over in Europe. Now then, there will be a famine of hearing the word of the Lord. That'll be the dark time when no man can work for God. And so the gospel is going now preparatory to that. It's the last warning message. Your ears are hearing it now. God help you to heed.
So in Russia, they're going to get together with this fascist Europe that's rising up from the underground, this sleeping giant, and they're going to turn against the United States. And here Putin is saying, well, okay, Europe, you know, we've had dealings with this. I've been talking to Schroeder about this for years. Now, shall we do this publicly? Shall we have this public break with America? And I don't know whether that will happen or whether, the German-Russian relationship will be underground for a bit longer. But very soon, these two will be very publicly and openly working to bring down the United States. And as Mr. Armstrong warned so powerfully, these are going to take out the United States. They're going to besiege the United States. They'll get China involved. It's going to, you're going to have a lot of people die in that siege. It's going to weaken the United States. And they're going to come in and take over. And this could move much more quickly. Then we think these countries are, or Germany's looking at how can we move quickly. And as Mr. Flurry's talked about, well, they're very good at surprises. Now is the time to take action. And the prophecies of your Bible are leaping off the daily news headlines. Now is the time for all of us to look at, well, can I intensify my prayer, my study, my relationship with God? And really heed that warning that Herbert W. Armstrong made, that God inspired Herbert Armstrong to make, and that God has now inspired Mr. Flurry to make. And we have our book, He Was Right. He Was Right, that goes through and tries to give you a good overview of everything that Mr. Flurry has said, a book we have to keep updating, or Mr. Armstrong said, a book we have to keep updating every few years to try and get everything in. Well, that is about all I've got time for to then be able to send this recording over to Mr. Livingston to try and get aired out in just a few minutes. So thank you so much for bearing with us as we work to have the show go on, even under those power cut conditions. I believe we've got a Key of David or a Life and Teachings episode to air for you for the second half. And all being well, hopefully Mr. Flurry will be back with you tomorrow.
Newsreel and Signal Corps cameramen made this record of the last days of Hitler's Germany. The cleansing fires of war have purged Germany of Nazi power. Let's be sure it never again rises from her ashes.
Philadelphia Church of God presents The Key of David. The Key of David unlocks all Bible prophecy of the past, present, and the beautiful world to come. ladies and gentlemen, Gerald Fleury.
Greetings, everyone. I'm speaking to you today from Berlin, Germany. Directly behind me is the Berlin Cathedral, a very famous landmark only a few blocks from the Reichstag and the Brandenburg Gate. The German people are very famous for their inventions, such as the printing press. They have been a center of learning for many decades, many years. And they are known for their many, many renowned musicians like Bach and Beethoven, Haydn, Mozart, Schubert, Schumann, many, many famous musicians. Truly, Germany is one of the greatest miracles of these modern times. They have risen in just a little over 50 years from ashes and rubble to being the greatest economic power in Europe. That is truly an amazing story. Did you know that that was all prophesied? That your Bible prophesied that great event that is taking place today in Germany? At this present time, Germany and America have very good relations. The Germans have an Air Force base now in New Mexico, and eventually they'll be equipped with 42 Tornado fighter planes and 24 F-4 Phantom fighters. The publication this week in Germany stated, according to the Pentagon, the new German training center is the first permanent foreign military base to be established on U.S. soil. The very first one to ever be established on U.S. soil. Now, why are we doing that? And is that good for America? Is it good for Germany? Well, some people wonder just how effective that will be. But who is Germany in prophecy? Who is Russia? Who is China? Who is America? Who are these nations in prophecy? After all, God talks about many little nations. Surely He would talk about these great nations in this end time. He certainly does tell us who Germany is in prophecy. We have proven that for many years, probably around 50 years now. And the Bible talks about Germany repeatedly, and especially in this end time. So let's take a look today at Germany in prophecy and begin in Isaiah 19 and verse 23. In that day, of course, in this end time, shall there be a highway out of Egypt to Assyria. And the Assyrian shall come into Egypt, and the Egyptian into Assyria, and the Egyptian shall serve with the Assyrians. In that day, again, meaning this end time, in that day, this very end time that we're living in now. Well, who is Assyria? If we're living in the end time, why would God tell us we're living in the end time in this prophecy and not tell us who Assyria is or reveal who Assyria is? In that day, verse 24, shall Israel be the third with Egypt and with Assyria, even a blessing in the midst of the land. And then verse 25, whom the Lord of hosts shall bless, saying, blessed be Egypt, my people, and Assyria, the work of my hands, and Israel, mine inheritance. So who is Israel? If we look at these great nations, who are they? And who are the Assyrians? Those are the questions that we need to answer. And there is an answer to that. Certainly, those of us in this end time need to understand. The Bible talks about the Assyrian, my people. Well, if they're God's people at this time, who are they? In Isaiah 30 and verse 8, it says that Isaiah was written in a book for these latter days. Now, if it was written in a book for the latter days and God gives us all these prophecies, then who are these people, who are these great nations that the Bible talks about so much? Assyria, we have proven time and time again, is Germany. But at this time, God says Assyria and Israel and Egypt and all of these nations that haven't gotten along very well are going to be working together, and you're going to have one triple alliance. But He says we could have that even today with all of these different nations if we would heed His message. But there is a time coming when these nations are going to be allied, and it's going to be a wonderful time. But you know and I know it is not that way today. When Germany was beaten totally in World War II, Herbert W. Armstrong prophesied that Germany was going to rise again and become one of the greatest powers in the world, if not the greatest power in the world. Now you tell me how he knew that was going to happen. Other people scoffed and scorned and didn't believe what he was saying, but it did come to pass. It did happen. He did prophesy that very event. Obviously, he had to get his information somewhere. Nobody else at that time really agreed with him. There was really nobody of any reputation who did. Here's what he wrote in June of 1952. The United States is determined now to let nothing stand in the way of building up a rearmed, independent Germany. This will be the heart and core of the united Europe that will revive the Roman Empire. Now here he's saying in 1952 that this Germany would actually be the core of a Roman Empire that would rise in this end time. And that has happened. How did he know? How could he possibly have known? Well, of course, he looked into Bible prophecy, and it tells you very clearly who Germany is and that they would rise in this end time and, in fact, be a very, very powerful nation. One of those prophecies is mentioned in Daniel 11. Let me read that to you. And this is a prophecy about Germany. Verse 40, and at that time of the end shall the king of the south push at him, and the king of the north shall come against him like a whirlwind with chariots and with horsemen and with many ships, and he shall enter into the countries and shall overflow and pass over. And he shall enter also into the glorious land, and many countries shall be overthrown. Many countries are going to be overthrown by this king of the north, which happens to be primarily Germany. A prophecy about Germany, and many nations are going to be overthrown in this end time. That is a prophecy in your Bible, and it's going to be fulfilled. And that's what Herbert W. Armstrong knew 50 years ago, even when Germany was totally destroyed. God tells us in the prophecies that they're going to be very, very strong. I'd like to read you what Herbert Armstrong wrote about Germany at the time they were beaten. Just after World War II, this is in the August 1959 Plain Truth, and here's what he says. When I came to Germany in 1954 and again in 1956, and now here I am a third time, I saw how Germany has recovered from one of the worst beatings in 1944 and 1945 that was ever administered to any nation. By the end of World War II, all cities of over 50,000 population in Germany were left in a heap of ruins, all of them, and also a great many smaller towns. Every fourth house in all of Germany was smashed. Every fourth house. Most of the cities were 80% destroyed. Cologne and Essen were 90% destroyed. The view of wreckage over all this major nation was absolutely indescribable. Absolutely indescribable. It was so bad. And yet, look at them today. Look at where they are today in such a few decades. He continues, people by hundreds of thousands rendered homeless were dragging their weary feet along clogged and crowded highways, impeding traffic, other thousands stomping across fields and sleeping in ditches. The Germans were defeated. War this time struck their own fatherland. And then leaders in Washington and London assured America and Britain that this crushed Germany would never be able to rise up and strike again. Never be able to rise up and strike again. Well, so much for human prophecy. But that is the way it looked at that time. It looked like they would literally never, ever become a great nation again. I'd like to give you a little bit of the negative side of what some of the high-profile critics are saying about Germany today, and perhaps the attitude that they have and that we need to look at a little more closely. At least we need to listen to the critics. Here is one that is from a former chancellor of Germany, Helmut Schmidt. He has this to say, taken from The Economist, January 6, 1996. Germany is making itself unloved around Europe again. So says Helmut Schmidt, a plain-speaking former chancellor who berates his country for taking on imperial heirs. He is berating his own country for a certain arrogance that they have and making themselves unloved in Europe. Well, you'd think after what Germany has done in World War I and World War II, they'd be very sensitive to criticism like this, and especially from their own former chancellor. But it doesn't seem to deter them very much, at least most people think not. He goes on to say, but there may be more to it than that, something that raises eyebrows because no one is used to it. It's signs that Germany is at last growing comfortable with the idea of matching economic might with political muscle. The current finance minister, Theo Weigel, a determined Bavarian, had this to say recently. He said, after these people have joined the Union, he now suggests chucking wayward members out altogether if they don't keep up their payments or if they don't get in step with the European community. So Mr. Schmidt sees that and wonders about the other people of Europe and how they view Germany. How they view Germany. That's what he's concerned about. Here is a statement from one of their most famous philosophers in Germany of the past. He said, the profound and icy mistrust which the German arouses whenever he gets any power into his hands is the aftermath of that vast, horrible fear with which for long centuries Europe dreaded the wrath of the Teutonic blonde beast. That's what he says. Something, of course, that we need to be concerned about because Germany has a history of causing a considerable amount of pain in this world. Surely we would all agree with that. Let me make another quote or give you another quote from William Shire, author of The Rise and Fall of the Third Reich, stated this in an address in Seattle, Washington on April 12, 1961. He said, the vast majority in a poll taken in Germany said that Nazism was a good idea, only badly carried out. In other words, the people say, well, it was good. They thought it was a good idea, but badly carried out. And he, I suppose, would be considered one of the foremost experts. This was made in 1961, but still, I think the fruits would certainly bear that out. Notice one more comment, this one from another high-profile writer, from a book, A Watcher on the Rhine, by Brian Connell, the vexing problem of denazification, which had been handled up to that time, the spring of 1947, by the Allied authorities, was handed over to the Germans. Now, this is his quote. It's not my statement. It's his. I'm just quoting him. But he said that is the way it was. In June of 1991, the German people voted to move their capital back to Berlin, away from Bonn, which many people considered the city of peace or the capital of peace. And of course, the significance of having the capital in Berlin is that it was there during the Second and Third Reich. Now, of course, the parliament was housed there in the Reichstag and is going to be housed there again. The very seat of the German government is going to be back in Berlin. Now, that has concerned some people as well. Because after all, so many unsavory events have occurred there in the past. Konrad Adenauer was determined that the capital would never be moved back to Berlin, and he was the chancellor of Germany immediately after World War II. So there are Germans that are concerned about it being moved back to the city of Berlin, where there have been so many memories that certainly are not good. I'd like to read to you a statement made by the Allies in World War II, just after they conquered Germany. This is by Franklin Roosevelt and Winston Churchill, the American-British policy on Germany. And here's what they had to say. It is our inflexible purpose to destroy German militarism and Nazism and to ensure Germany will never again be able to disturb the peace of the world. We are determined to disarm and disband all German armed forces, break up for all time the German General Staff that has repeatedly contrived the resurgence of German militarism, remove or destroy all German military equipment, eliminate or control all German industry that could be used for military production. It is not our purpose to destroy the people of Germany, but only when Nazism and militarism have been extirpated or completely destroyed will there be hope for a decent life for Germans and a place for them in the community of nations. And again, Konrad Adenauer said, we were taking a calculated risk for even beginning to rebuild Germany. He said that himself, and of course, other people agree with him. I want to mention one event and one news event that is certainly concerning some people. Germany has recognized Croatia, and the Vatican very quickly recognized Croatia with them. And yet, the United States and all of Europe and most of the world was against their recognizing Croatia. Now, there was a reason why the world was concerned about that, and we all should be concerned about it. And the reason that the rest of Europe didn't want to clash with Germany or with Bonn was because of the problems that Bonn can cause them due to their economic power, and perhaps power used in other ways. The New York Times, December 16, 1991, wrote, the incident underscored Germany's growing political power, and they say that was the single most visible demonstration of that power since reunification of the two Germanys more than a year ago. That was in 1990. But they began to have great power, and even when the whole world was against them, they went along with Germany. And now Germany has everybody supporting Croatia and, frankly, against the Serbs, it seems. That's an interesting turnaround. But here's why so many people were concerned about it in the beginning. The same New York Times article said that that stirred troubling historical associations because the Third Reich used Croatia as a puppet regime in World War II. And I think most people know that. Naturally, that would concern some people. The leader of Croatia, Mr. Tudjman, the president, has said that his country did no wrong by following after Adolf Hitler. And he still rules Croatia today. That is another reason why some people are very deeply concerned about this. Let me just give you a little bit of the other side of the story. I'm using quite a few quotes, but they're very, very important quotes that tell a story. Listen to this one from Mischa Glinyi in his book, The Fall of Yugoslavia. He said, his phobia of Germany is shared by many Serbs. From early on in the conflict, Serbia became convinced that Croatia's bid for independence meant that the Germans had begun the establishment of the Fourth Reich. Now, again, this is his view, and you can agree or disagree, but where is this all leading? Where is it leading today, and what kind of problems is it going to cause? I'm talking about people making those statements. Certainly not myself, but people who are world famous in most cases. Margaret Thatcher, for example, she said the reunification of Germany was a big mistake. Germany is very powerful now. Her national character is to dominate. Her national character is to dominate. Now, if that's the case, and with a lot of power, of course, people know that could cause a lot of problems in the world. It could cause a lot of problems, and here's what she says. You have not anchored Germany to Europe. You have anchored Europe to a newly dominant, unified Germany. Now, I would think that ought to concern some people, and maybe we ought to at least speak out from time to time because of what has happened in the past in Germany. Obviously, people ought to be concerned. Let me give you one more quote, this one from the British government. And a person that had to resign because of this statement. This is from Reuters, November 23rd, 1994. Prime Minister John Major, the top ally of British Prime Minister John Major, resigned on Wednesday after saying Germany's contribution to Europe was to have caused two world wars. Caused two. Now, this is what this man says. And he said, On a little further down, I have no great liking for a continent dominated by two countries, the unique contribution of one of which has been to plunge Europe into two world wars in living memory. He says they have plunged Europe into two world wars in living memory, and so people, of course, are concerned about that. I want to read a scripture to you where God talks about Assyria. Isaiah 10 and verse 5 says, O Assyrian, the rod of my anger and the staff in their hand is my indignation. So God is actually going to use Assyria in this end time again for a very special purpose. And he says, I will send him against an hypocritical nation and against the people of my wrath. God is going to use Assyria or Germany to punish another nation or a group of nations, God says, because he's wrathful toward them. Why? Why is God wrathful? And he says, will I give him charge to take the spoil and to take the prey and to tread them down like the mire of the streets? Verse 7 says, howbeit he means not so, neither does his heart think so, but it is in his heart to destroy and cut off nations, not a few. And this is what the Allied leaders said after World War II, that they did have a certain history there that we need to be concerned about, but God is going to use this great nation for his own purpose, and it's not going to be pleasant for the nations of Israel, and we have proven for years who those nations are. You need to know, you need to understand what is happening in Europe. Let me read another scripture to you about that powerful nation that we've been discussing today. Luke 21 and verse 20. And when you shall see Jerusalem compassed with armies, then know that the desolation thereof is near. Then let them which are in Judea flee to the mountains. Somebody has to flee from the mountains because of a powerful nation, or actually it's a group of nations led by Germany. We can prove that to you, but people are going to have to flee to the mountains, and let them which are in the midst of it depart out, and let not them that are in the countries enter thereinto. For these be the days of vengeance, that all things which are written may be fulfilled. All these prophecies that we've heard about for so many years are going to be fulfilled in this very end time, and Germany is going to play a key role. We can prove that to you and have proved it for around 50 years, as I said before. Verse 23, but woe unto them that are with child, and to them that give suck in those days, for there shall be great distress in the land, and wrath upon this people. God is wrathful, God is angry, and he's going to punish the nations of Israel. Verse 24, and they shall fall by the edge of the sword, and shall be led away captive into all the nations, and Jerusalem shall be trodden down of the Gentiles, until the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled. We're about to see the times of the Gentiles, and Germany is going to be one of those great Gentile powers that's going to blast its way on the world scene and literally shock this world by its own power. And that includes military power. God says you'd better be careful, he says. You should know when summer is near just by what you see around you. And he says, when you see all these signs, though they are very negative, it's actually a great sign that Jesus Christ is about to return. But he says in verse 34, take heed. Take heed to yourselves. It's a warning from Jesus Christ, his own words, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and cares of this life, and so that day come upon you unawares. For as a snare shall it come upon all them that dwell on the face of the whole earth. Watch you therefore, and pray always that you may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. God says if you watch and if you pray, God will protect you. He'll let you know when to flee and where to flee and how you can escape all these problems that are coming upon the world, and Germany is going to be a very great part of it. If you watch and if you pray, God says he will take care of you individually. Until next week, this is Gerald Fleury. Goodbye, friends.